Canis myself were on the phone with a old brother in Wales. We had the phone loudspeaker listening to him. He'd been set aside, quite elderly, weak in body, couldn't go out. He just sat there in his home, just every day watching Brother Clendenin speaking three times a day, just watching that broadcast out of Iceland. He'd come on the phone to us, desperate to get a hold of us, just so desperate. And he said, you know, in this time I've been set aside, I'm not sure if it was 6 months or whatever it was, he said, I've got all these ties saved up. He said, you must get this money to Brother Clendenin. You must take this money. He says, this continent, these nations, Wales, my nation, must hear this message. They must hear the word of the Lord. He said, please take this and get it to Brother Clendenin. That was his last request. That was his dying request. We went there to see him. When I walked in the room that last time, he couldn't speak at that point. But I kissed his forehead, kissed his cheek. And I said, brother, we are going to take this gospel to these nations. There will be a people who are going to hear in Wales again. It isn't finished. Hallelujah. Lying there, that man of God, a godly, holy man, who had walked with God with a testimony. And he said, with all my heart, I don't have much, but I will give my all. I want this gospel to go as a fire. Oh, saints, that we would give ourselves unto this. We don't have 50 years. We don't have a lifetime, saints of God. What we are to do, we must do quickly. There was a man called Samuel Wesley in England, a small town village, a man with great desires, great burdens. He had three great desires as he lay in his deathbed. One of them was he'd written a commentary on the book of Job. It was always his desire to get it in print and have it go out to believers and pastors and leaders. His second request and desire was that he'd be debt free. His third request was that out of that small community, revival would come to these British Isles. That was his three desires. And as he lay there in that bed, on his shelf lay that book in Latin, unpublished, sitting with dust on it. And as he lay there, he said, well, I'm not going to see that happen. I'm still in debt, and no revival has come in my day and hour. Do you know, sitting at either side of that bed were two men, two sons. When he died, the debts were paid off. When he died, that book was published and sent out to preachers to encourage them. And sitting either side of that bed was John Wesley and Charles Wesley. Revival did come out of that community, saints. We never know how close we are. In the days of John the Baptist, he says, behold, the kingdom of God is nigh. You could reach out and touch it, saints. We don't know. We don't realize how close the salvation of our God is. The things we prayed for and believed for and labored for over these years, fighting through discouragements, fighting through the opposition of the enemy. Saints, do not despair in this hour. Hear what has been preached from this pulpit throughout this week. The fight isn't over yet, saints. We are here in the will and the purpose of God that we might arise and run with what we've heard. What we're going to do, let's do quickly. Amen. Amen. I want to preach to you just for a short time on the zeal of the Lord. The zeal of the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 9. Sorry, chapter 19. Second Kings chapter 19, reading from verse 1. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah, heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and ashes and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered. And the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is no strength to bring forth. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servant of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria hath blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Father, will you just help us in this short time this morning? Father, you've been so faithful and so good to us, O God. Raise up our hearts with the things that we have heard, O God, that we might go forth even from this convention to do the will of God. O Father, raise up a faith in the Son of God. It's not of man and not of the works of man. We have no confidence in the flesh, but our eyes are upon you in this last hour and in this last generation. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says there that Hezekiah said, this is a day of trouble. It's a day when this remnant, shut behind the walls of that city, that church of the Old Testament, and the enemy, a great army, had come up against them. An overwhelming deluge of blasphemy, of reproach and mocking and scorning of the enemy, had come up against this remnant called the church. I'm tired. This is a reality, saints. Every generation down over the ages, trace the pattern, how that small remnant, how the devil has contended against that small remnant. And we, in this chapter, just previous to this, we read of this young man, Hezekiah, 25 years old, who came to the throne. Oh, that God would set his hand upon lives again, that God would begin to raise up lives in these nations again, who say, I do know the will of God. My heart is set towards the living Christ. I'm not here for games or entertainment or my own benefits, but I want to see the will of God done in our generation again. And we're told that this young man cleaved to the Lord with all of his strength and with all of his might. He had nothing else. Saints, they had an overwhelming opposition against them. No man was going to deliver them. No army was going to deliver them. Only the Lord God of Israel was going to be their defense in that hour. Saints, is it not the same with us in this room? Look around us and see this remnant that is gathered in from this nation. But I tell you, saints, I'm not looking to you. I'm not looking to the preachers. I'm not looking at any other thing. I'm looking to the Lord God of Israel that's always delivered his church and raised it up. I once read of a revival in Wales. The preachers, the leaders there, small band of them. It was desolate. There was trouble on every side. And they met for one last meeting. They got so discouraged, so grieved in spirit. It was such a desolation that they met for one last prayer meeting. And as they gathered in that prayer meeting, revival came down and swept across that whole region. Saints, we never know how close we are to a visitation of the Spirit of God. Duncan Campbell, that man of God, He said that the 3 months leading into that Hebrides revival, he walked those highways and those byways out in the midst of the back of beyond. And for 3 months, saints, a gross darkness fell upon that man of God. And he said he hardly knew that there was a God in heaven until he stood in the pulpit and the Spirit of God began to move and he began to preach the Word of God. Saints, we do not know how close a visitation of the Holy Spirit of God is to our churches in this room. Saints, do not be discouraged in this hour. Let us rise up with one heart and one mind in this hour. I am standing with you. You're standing with me. Saints, we must believe that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no shadow of change in with Him. The God who sent revival in days of old is a God standing in the midst of us here. He's been speaking from this pulpit. He's been exhorting and encouraging and restoring our soul. He's been setting our eyes upon Jesus Christ. He's the same saints. He's the very same. And we're told that Rabshakeh, that enemy, he comes up against the city and he starts to speak to the people on the walls. Not just the leaders, to that people, that congregation. And he says, don't believe that message that Hezekiah is preaching unto you. Hezekiah says, the Lord will deliver us. The Lord will send us a revival. Deliverance shall come from the hand of the Lord. But Rabshakeh started to mock them. Have you heard that voice, saints of God? It says, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. It shall not be. That is where the opposition is. See, this morning in this conference, you have heard the word of the Lord. But saints, don't you let the fowls of the air steal that message that you have received over these days. There will be a fight for what you have heard in these days as you leave these doors and you return to your churches and your communities and your homes and your families and your difficulties and your warfare. There is a fight to fight. Saints of God, guard the word of God. Don't let Satan dampen down that expectation of that stirring and reviving and a reaching of this continent one more time before Jesus comes. And we are told that this man Hezekiah, with all this surrounding him, that he began to seek the face of God. He covered himself with sackcloth and he began to pray unto the Lord. That is our strength, church. That is the place of deliverance in this generation and in every generation. Look at all the revivals down through history. It wasn't 10,000 in a conference. It's the ones, it's the twos, it's the tens, it's the fives. Every single revival in history. I can't even think of one that had great multitudes initially. God chose out a vessel. Saints, do not underestimate what God has called us together in this place to do. We can reach these nations by the grace and the power of God. Who are you and who am I? No one. But see, if the zeal of the Lord comes again upon lives in this room, this fire's going to burn again. It will, saints. But you will have to fight for that conviction, as we heard last night. You're going to have to fight for this conviction and make your stand, saying, this is the word of the Lord. We've received from the living Christ. We're making our stand. They'll have to burn us, nail us to the wall, do what may, but we are standing. It says there, verse 6, and Isaiah said unto him, thus shall ye say unto your master, thus saith the Lord. We need the word of the Lord. I want to hear from him. Did you not come here to hear from God? Did you not come here with a prayer, oh God, speak to my heart? But what will you do with that word? He has spoken, saints. He has met with you. It says there in verse 15, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubim, Thou art the God, even thou alone, and of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and ears, and eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. A great desolation has come. And the burden of Hezekiah and of Isaiah in this place of prayer is the people of God are crying out for a revival and deliverance in this hour. And the enemy is contending and blaspheming the name of the Lord. They're looking for the reality and the power of God to be restored again. They're looking for the salvation of God. And they know in that prayer meeting, under the preaching of the word, that's the only place of deliverance. If God doesn't speak to us, if God doesn't answer our prayers, saints, we're finished in this room. If he isn't the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we're finished. But I do know that he is the same. He is the mighty God of Israel. He's the stirrer of his remnant. Down to verse 20. And it says, then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard it. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed, and against whom thou hast exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, this remnant, hear this, O enemy of the living God. This remnant is going to revive and stir again. This enemy is going to begin to make a stand in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. They will revive again. They will stir again. Down to verse 30. And it says, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah, this is the word of God to them. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. He said, it won't be by your hand. It won't be by Hezekiah's hand, but the zeal of the Lord is going to accomplish this great work. Saints, how are we going to accomplish, sitting here in this convention, the things that have been laid before us? That heavenly vision of reaching out to our nations and our communities, the zeal of the Lord is going to accomplish it. Take your eyes off yourself, off your weakness, off your churches, and let's look to the living God again. The zeal of the Lord's going to accomplish it. It's going to be his zeal that brings it to birth. I know you're there, sin. It seems like we've come to the birth, but there's no strength to bring forth. But this is the hour, he's saying, I'm going to send down my zeal. The power is going to come from me. It won't be by your strength or your effort or your ability, but I'm going to send the zeal of the Lord upon you. And it'll be that zeal that will send you out into the highways and the byways. It'll be that zeal that raises up churches that are going to preach this gospel. It'll be this zeal that sends you as a missionary. It'll be this zeal, pastor, that keeps you in the pulpit faithfully, week after week, stirring, challenging, exhorting, dealing with the hearts. The zeal of the Lord shall accomplish it. Lift up your eyes unto him. They'll send his zeal again. It's a living reality. In the days of Hezekiah, we're told there in verse 35, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Syrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. 185,000 men slew before the hand of the Lord. Can you see that small remnant that's been laboring and travailing in brokenness before God, saying, how long, O Lord? Where is this strength and anointing of the Holy Ghost? Where's that dynamite that comes from heaven? Where is that power of Pentecost? And he says, suddenly in one moment of time, he delivers his remnant because the zeal of the Lord shall do this. It is the work of God. We're told in Isaiah chapter 9, 7, of the increase of his government. It's a prophecy concerning Christ. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. And listen to what he says. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. This is speaking of the kingdom of God, that righteous kingdom called the Church of Jesus Christ that will be raised up and ordered under the hand and the counsel of Jesus Christ himself. Isaiah was able to prophesy, looking down through the corridors of time. It might seem desolate today, but Christ will arise and order his kingdom, and it'll be the zeal of the Lord shall perform it. Everything he has prophesied, everything he has spoken, none of his words shall fall to the ground. But all, if this be the word of God he's spoken in the midst, the zeal of the Lord shall perform it. It shall be his zeal. This thing called the zeal of the Lord. In Colossians 4 and 12, Paul speaks of a man called Epaphras. He said, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea. This man, that zeal of the Lord that was going to accomplish all this, this zeal had laid hold of this man. This man knew something of the indwelling and the filling of the Holy Spirit that brought the zeal of God upon him. Paul says it was this zeal of the Lord that compelled him, that moved him to pray for that church at Laodicea. Oh, that God would have a remnant praying for this Laodicean age. Saints, it takes nothing to give up on this generation. It takes nothing to lose heart. It takes nothing to say there's no hope. It takes nothing to grow discouraged. But saints, if we are going to overcome and in that place of prayer travail with a burdened heart, loving this generation, saying, I'm going to stand. There's a generation in that harlot system that is yet to come out to be saved, redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb, found grounded in the Scriptures. They have not heard. I believe that. This charismatic, user-friendly generation, we get them all the time in the school. Every school we run, there's individuals sitting there 1, 2, 3 days, and they say, we've never heard this. Why didn't someone tell me? Why didn't the pastors preach it? Saints, it's heavy to meet those. I can't cast off hope and confidence. There's a multitude of them out there. If they hear this word, they will believe. Here's this man, Epaphras, the zeal of the Lord's compelling them to pray that they might stand in all the will of God. In Numbers 25 and 11, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Because of their sin, God was going to judge them. Because of sin in the camp and issues undealt with. But here's Phinehas. Where did he come from? Who knows, but the zeal of the Lord lay hold of a man who rose up, took that spear, and slew those that were committing sin in the camp. He dealt swiftly with sin in the camp. Saints, let's rise up in our churches one more time. The zeal of the Lord shall accomplish this. God stayed his hand when he seen this zeal consuming this man called Phinehas. He was going to pour out his judgment, but because of a zeal-filled man, he withheld that judgment and was well pleased with his servant. Do you realize that we rise up with the zeal of God, with faith and confidence in His written word? I'm telling you, we can stay the judgment of God from off our nations and our towns and our cities. And judgment is coming. But saints, let's stay the judgment of God. Oh, that the zeal of the Lord would lay hold of you in this room. Oh, that the zeal of God that's going to accomplish this, not you, but the zeal of the Lord, would lay a hold of you in this last hour. This word zeal means to burn. That's the meaning, simple meaning of this word zeal. It means to have a jealousy for the honor and the glory of God. It means to burn within your bones. It means there's something within you that cannot be satisfied. It's a burning that dominates your thinking and your mind, your attitudes and your ways, your actions and where you go. This zeal consumes and burns as a raging fire. It lifts a man out of obscurity and he sets him on the scene of time. It takes someone who has no confidence or liberty or freedom and he'll make them a preacher by the power and the zeal of the Holy Ghost. He'll take a drunkard, an adulterer, and send them out as a missionary. Saints of God, there's a reality. It's not in us. It's in the Holy Ghost again. Every time He's come with revival, it's been a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. It's all in the Holy Ghost. This early church that we read of in Scripture, they were a breed consumed with this zeal. That's why they could topple kingdoms. That's why they stayed off judgment for a generation. That's why they've seen men like Paul the Apostle confounded in his persecution. The zeal of the Lord. This early church that was filled with zeal. They saw only one thing. They cared only about one thing. They lived only for one thing. They were swallowed up and consumed only in one thing. And that one thing was to please God. Whether they lived or whether they died, they were consumed with the zeal of the Lord. Whether they were healthy or whether they were sick, this zeal burned within their bones. Whether they were rich or whether they were poor, this zeal burned as a rich inheritance upon them. Whether they pleased men or whether men grew offended with them, this zeal burned as a fire within them. Whether they were accused or whether they were praised, this fire burnt within their bones. Whether they got honor or whether they got shame, for all these, the zealous early church cared for nothing other than the glory of the Lamb. This was their cause. This was the fuel for their zeal. This was the fuel that burnt within them. The glory of the Lamb, that His name one last time will be sanctified in our nation. One last time that this generation is going to see there's a God in Israel. This zeal burnt across that early church. It says of Paul, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. That's zeal. That's true zeal. John said, He must increase, but I must decrease. There was a burning of that fire that burnt away at the person of John and that manifested the glory of Christ. Let this zeal burn one more time. In Hebrews 12 and 1 we're told, wherefore seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look down over the corridors of time. Look at Elijah. Look at Enoch. Look at Jeremiah. Look at Isaiah. What kept them going in the dark nights of history? What kept them preaching? What kept them burning as a fire? What kept them in the place of prayer? What was it that consumed them, saints? It was this zeal of the Lord that was going to accomplish the divine plan and purpose in each and every generation. Let this zeal get a hold of us and we shall perform the will of God. It's a reality. It's not an imagination. It's not a feeling. It's the Holy Spirit of God burning within clay vessels. Just let Him fill us again. Just let Him burn as He wants to burn. It's all in Him. That's why I said to that early church, Oh, they'd been with him. They'd been well taught. They'd seen his full example. Oh, they had walked with him and talked with him. Oh, yes, they knew their master. But he says, tarry until that you receive this fiery Holy Ghost, until the zeal of the Lord. Because this commission that I've given to you to carry this gospel unto every creature, into every nation, every pagan country across the known world, this shall only be accomplished by the anointing and the power and the zeal of the Holy Ghost. Peter, James, and John, I'm not sending you out to do it. I'm not saying, well, just go and fulfill this commission. I'm saying, tarry until the zeal of the Lord burns upon you. Tarry in that upper room. Get alone with me in that upper room. And you bow the knee and tarry until the zeal of the Lord comes again. And I can assure you, Thomas, you'll go into India and you'll preach that gospel and you'll die for this faith. Matthew, you'll go. John, you'll go, all of them, scattered across the nations. Why? How could they have reached that known generation in 30 years? How could the gospel have reached the British Isles in 30 years after Pentecost? How could this gospel have shook the pagan kingdoms of these lands, of this continent of Europe? It was by the zeal of the Lord. They didn't come with great armies. They didn't come with all the money and finance and machinery of movements and saints. It wasn't there. But they did have the zeal of the Lord. It burnt upon that early church as a living reality. We read in Acts 28, verse 31, concerning Paul as he sits in that prison in the city of Rome. It says, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. No man, notice this, no man forbidden them. This is the last verse of the book of Acts. In fact, more than that, this statement, no man forbidden him, is one word, not four. It is one word. It's actolutos, meaning unhindered, unforbidden, unprevented. Though opposition, though hindrances arise on the left and the right, here's a man in his prison house, waiting to stand before Caesar. But he says, unhindered. I'm here in my home preaching the gospel. I'm here a captive of Rome. I'm here a prisoner of the government. But I'm unhindered. Down over the years, as I look back, as you read the book of Acts, he was persecuted from church to church. Those Pharisees, those Judaizers, they followed him. They sabotaged those early churches. They tried to compromise him. They tried to sow seeds of confusion and heresy and conflict. Every step he took, they were on his tail following him, contending against the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But here he is, a convicted criminal, awaiting his charges. But he says, I'm unhindered. Oh, there's been much opposition. There's been many problems. There's been discouragements along the way. I even despaired of life at times. I'm here with scars all across my back. I know what it is to hurt. I know what it is to suffer. I know what it is for men to leave me. I know what it is for all of Asia to forsake me. But here I am, unhindered. I've still got faith in my heart. I'm still believing for this gospel to go out. I'm still writing those letters to Philippi and Colossia and to Ephesus. Oh, I'm unhindered. Saints, are you unhindered? Oh, but you don't know my trials. Saints, scar for scar. Scar for scar. That man was covered with scars from the trials and the troubles of life. But he overcome, the zeal of the Lord laid hold of him and burnt on that man, making him a flame and fire in that early church. This was the characteristic of every early apostle and preacher of Jesus Christ. Those early prophets, those early teachers, those early evangelists, a fire consumed them. That's why they accomplished it. The zeal of the Lord shall accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord shall perform this. It's the work of God. Romans 12 verse 11 says, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Again, it says in Titus 2:14, it says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. That was the mark of that early church. All of those New Testament churches, as the flame of fire began to burn, as revival visited them, zealous for good works. They were sanctified, they were made holy. Oh, that this would burn across our nations again. Oh, that the zeal of the Lord would come to accomplish what we're hearing in these meetings. A holy church again, saints. Does it burn within us? I want my church to be a holy church. I want purity in the pulpit again. I want sanctification amongst our teenagers. I want the reality of the movements of the Holy Ghost. I want to see sinners repenting in our altars. I want to see the power of God, the sick healed, raised up out of the wheelchairs. The zeal of the Lord shall accomplish this. It shall be accomplished by him and not man. Paul didn't get himself a reputation as he stood before Festus. It says that Festus stood and said with a loud voice, Paul got someone roused. Said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning does make thee mad. Paul, you're a madman. What is this zeal burning within you? He stands here, this old disheveled man, and yet he's carrying the gospel to the known world. He's an old warrior of Jesus Christ, a warrior of the cross, a soldier of the cross. Paul, how have you accomplished this? By the zeal of the Lord. That early church, in reward for their zeal, they gained nothing but the cross. For their passion, they received persecution. For their glorying, they received shame and reproach. But they never went backwards. If their persecutors would not listen concerning their Christ, then they could at least suffer for their Christ, and as their Christ did suffer, and seal their testimony by their own blood, loving not their life, even unto the death. What a power was in that. When you look at Stephen being stoned, what a power in that, enough to bring Saul of Tarsus to his knees, to chide upon him. What was Paul looking at? He was looking at a man filled with the zeal of the Lord, saying, Lord, I commit my spirit into your hands. Stephen, why didn't you hate your attackers? How could you love them and forgive them? How could you stay pure and holy when all around cast stones upon your head? Stephen, how did you do it? The zeal of the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God accomplished it. That early church was persecuted and buffeted, nailed to crosses, burnt at the stake, and yet they revived and spread across the known world. Rome could not stop them. The Judaizers could not stop them. While that zeal burnt as a living flame, their weakness could not hinder it. Their weakness could not make void the calling and the gifts of God. The only thing that hindered them carrying this gospel to the ends of the world was sin in their own life. It was the issues of their heart. While they were weak and humble and small in their own eyes, God used them in a great way. But as that church spread out and compromise in the mind and the thoughts and the ways of man come in, it come to a standstill. Look down over the corridors of time that are reformers. John Knox going to Scotland, and in 40 days that nation was changed. How did one man accomplish that? Two other times he'd gone to the nation, the same man filled with the same faith, with the same gospel, and nothing happened. But that third time, he got the word of the Lord, and the Lord says, you shall stand and preach in the nation. And as he began to preach, revival spread out from the city of Perth in round those communities. In 40 days, a whole nation was changed. That's a fact of history. The Reformation happened in no nation like the nation of Scotland. They called it the marriage day of God to the nation, when God came down and the nation and joined himself unto him. I do not believe the day of nations running after God's over. I do not believe that, saints. I don't believe the day is so far gone that we can't see the mighty movements of the Holy Ghost. Nations can yet run after him. But the zeal of the Lord shall accomplish it. It wasn't John Knox. It wasn't John Wesley. It wasn't Evan Roberts. It wasn't Duncan Campbell. It was the zeal of the Lord, the Holy Ghost of God, coming down in his church. Just let him move here this morning. So you're going to have to contend for this word. You've heard a weighty word. You've had a vision for these nations set before you. And if you dare to think that something of that is within your power or your ability or your responsibility, as far as the natural man goes, you're in trouble. The zeal of the Lord shall accomplish us. We know that Christ, it was said of him in Psalm 69 and 9, "For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, it's burnt within me." This is Christ. "And the reproaches of them that reproach thee, they're fallen upon me." This is what's going to happen when the zeal of the Lord consumes a man or a woman. All of a sudden, what's happening in the church is going to burn you up. You won't be able to sleep at night as you wrestle with the Holy Ghost, as you wrestle under the burden of this, saying, "Oh God, break upon our nation, break in upon our church again. I'm praying for Laodicea. The zeal of the Lord's consuming my bones. Oh God, deliver them. Oh God, save them from the hand of their enemies." Let the zeal burn in you, saints of God, and you will rise up and believe what you're hearing. It's all in the zeal of the Lord. It's all in that small bottle of oil. All in the Holy Ghost. Look at the martyrs of the ages as they burn in these nations. These nations are blood-stained nations. Millions died for the faith. Blood ran in these nations. In the city of London, two men, Latimer and Ridley, tied to the stake, it was set on fire. And Latimer said to Ridley, said, "Brother, take heart, play the man, stand fast, keep the faith." He said, "This day we light a fire in England that shall never go out." Do you know that fire, that testimony, that burning zeal to say, "I'll seal my testimony with my very blood," spread across this nation. A multitude of witnesses began to raise up in the cities and the towns of this nation. The Puritans come out of that fire. Great preachers and leaders come out of that fire. Men and women of God, great churches in this nation, great missionary movements out of that testimony of a people consumed by the zeal of the Lord. Oh, saints in these churches, before me in our churches, let the zeal of the Lord come back again. Let the glory be restored to Zion. Our young people will stand on street corners and preach this gospel again. It's the answer, saints of God. It's the answer. This zeal for God's house consumed the living Christ. Again, he says in Psalm 119, "My zeal has consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten your words." Are you concerned with zeal? Are you consumed that our nations have departed? The truth has fallen in the streets. Once our nations were filled with street preachers, now you can't find them. He's a rarity. He's a dinosaur, and not by his age. Pastor Peter, you're a dinosaur. Not because of his age, but because to find a man who'll overcome the discouragements, the battles and the struggles, and stand in the communities, the towns going in every direction from this town, stand and preaching, beseeching sinners to come. What has done this? It's the zeal of the Lord, compelled. Truth has fallen in the streets. Are you going to leave it that way? This was Christ consumed. The same zeal that came upon him is to come upon us. He ascended unto the Father. The Holy Ghost is that cloak passed from Christ to the believer. And just as Elijah dropped his cloak for the waiting, hungry Elisha, so it shall be with us, saints of God. Amen. Take up that mantle of the Holy Ghost. Take up that zeal that consumed him. This is our Christ. This is our Savior burning for his church, burning for the house of his Father. Do you remember when he went into the temple and the money changers are there? And the hypocrisy and the impurity that had come into God's house? And the anger of the Lord burned, the zeal of the Lord burned within him. And he began to weep them, but not before he'd wept. Just before that, we see him looking out over Jerusalem, weeping for the city. If you can't weep for these nations, don't you rebuke them. And he cleaned out the house of God. And it says there in John 2, and his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. When they looked at the man, Christ Jesus, with that zeal burning upon him for the glory of God, for the house of God, for a pure testimony, for righteousness to be restored, they said, this is the zeal of the Lord. They remembered what Scripture said, saying that this zeal would consume him. Oh, that this zeal would consume you in this room. Not the hearing of a message, but a zeal is going to lay a hold of you that you'll carry back to your homes. There's going to be a purifying of your home. There's going to be a sanctifying of your household. The symbol of this zeal is a burning fire, for our God is a consuming fire. He said he would make his messengers, his servants, as a flame of fire, that this zeal would burn. This is the great tragedy of the church today. Where's the fire? Where's the zeal? Where's the fire burning in the prayer meeting, in the preaching, in the soul winning, in the desire, in the righteousness and the purity? Let the zeal of the Lord burn again. Some of you sitting here, you're going to go out. There's a great task ahead. You've got to go out and stir churches. Win souls to Christ. Reach mission fields. Put this gospel in Norway. We've all got responsibilities here. How are you going to do that, sir? How are you going to do that, madam? By your own hand? By going back and strategizing? It's by the zeal of the Lord that hung as a cloak and a mantle on the shoulders of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give me again this mantle of my Savior. Give me again that mantle that rested upon him. We're told in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah's ready to go home to be with the Lord. Do you remember that man? We heard about him last night. The zeal of the Lord burnt on him as a fire, consuming him. There's few men in the Old Testament that burnt like Elijah, the prophet. He was a burning fire. His every thought blazed for the purpose of God. His every word burnt through kingdoms. It was a fire shut up in his bones. A preaching, a zeal, a consuming. What carried him onto the battlefield to contend with the prophets of Baal? What made him stand there and say, let the God who answers by fire, let him be God? He was a man who said, let the fire, the zeal of the Lord can settle this. He stood there burning with fire. Elijah, why did you do it? It was the zeal of the Lord shut up in my bones. I couldn't help it. I had to speak the word of God. I had to contend against iniquity. I had to prophesy against Ahab. I had to stand and preach. You preachers, don't let the enemy discourage you. Don't leave the pulpit of God that you've been called to. I'm tired. Chain yourself to the pulpit. Say, I'm going to die preaching this gospel. I know I'm called of the Holy Ghost. I know discouragements that come, but I'm going to die prevailing in prayer, beseeching the Lord, preaching to the saints of God. I'm looking for the zeal to be restored to God's house. That old man Elijah in his latter days, the Lord saying, it's not long now. He's consumed. You know as well as I do. After having seen the fire and the glory of God come down, one word from Jezebel and he ran. There are zeal killers. Discouragement will kill your zeal. It's a sin. Apathy will kill your zeal. Sin will kill your zeal. That's why he says to the church in Revelation chapter 3, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Zeal is the brother of repentance. They stand shoulder to shoulder. Oh, saints of God, let's repent and let's have the zeal of God burning in the house of God again. And we know Elijah ran for his life discouraged, abandoning the field of battle. But thank God, the grace of God came to him one last time, one last task. One last task, Elijah, before I take you home. One last calling. And he says there in chapter 19, and Jehu, the son of Nishi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shalt thou anoint to be a prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left to me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees of which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Saints, it's time for a fresh commissioning here in this convention. It's time to let the zeal of the Lord burn again. This commission is our commission. But he didn't commission us without leaving us that cloak of zeal, that it will accomplish the will of God. And we are told that Elisha sent one of the prophets, one of the young men, and he says, gird up thy loins and take the box of oil in thy hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest hither, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nishmi, and go in and make him arise from among his brethren and carry him out into an inner chamber and there anoint his head with the oil that represented the anointing of the Holy Ghost and prophesy unto him the word of God. Jehu was just sitting amongst the rest, but the word of the Lord came unto his heart. As the word of the Lord come unto you in this convention, commanding you to arise from amongst your brethren, commanding you to go alone into that chamber with the word that you have received. Messengers have been sent to this convention. And he says, take the box of oil, pour it on his head, and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. And he done it. And as he returned, Jehu returned to the other captains. They said, who's this madman? You know, this preacher, you go home and start talking like this, they might say, you've listened to a madman. Well, they call Paul a madman. A fanatic, C.T. Studd said, fanatics are as rare as dodos, you can't find them. Don't talk about fanaticism. We're not fanatics, saints of God. We're not even beginning. Well, we are beginning. This zeal is going to burn. This zeal is going to consume us again. That we see a Holy Ghost revival. And we're told that Jehu got in his chariot immediately. Saints of God, at the end of this convention, get in your chariot and immediately go back to your task. What God has called you to, he's brought you here to strengthen you, to stir your heart again, to revive your heart. I'm telling you, in this altar, in these few moments, lift up that cloak of zeal. Take it on to you this morning, because I'm telling you, just like Elijah dropped it and it lay there, Christ has sent the Holy Ghost unto us, but who with faith in their heart will say, oh, give me that mantle of the Holy Ghost. Give me that seal that burns as a fire. And we are told that he rode ferociously in that chariot. Oh, saints, get in your chariot this day. Hear the word of the Lord. Do not tarry. Be quick about this. And ride with the zeal of the Lord. And as he got closer to Jezreel, it said the watchmen are looking and they're saying, who is this? Who's this coming in such a rage? Who's this returning unto us? Who's this coming with all haste and speed and urgency? And as he got closer, it says there, and the watchman told, saying, he came even unto him, and he cometh not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nishmi, for he drives furiously. Do you know what he done? He brought a revival to that nation. He destroyed wickedness in the land. He performed the word of God that was preached and given unto him. Are you going to perform the will of God? Arise with faith. Get into your chariot. And I'm telling you, saints, ride like with all urgency, like the Lord is about to come. I know we believe it, but do we believe it? With an urgency and a fire and a zeal burning for the church of God one last time. And in the next chapter, he says, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they made him to ride in his chariot. Oh, get into that chariot this morning. Get into that chariot, saints of God. We've been preached to over these days. God, the Holy Ghost has been here moving upon us. Let's come into this altar. Can we stand together and say, oh God, we take by faith this cloak, this mantle of zeal again. Do you want to perform and accomplish what has been preached unto you? Do you want to get into a chariot and return never to be the same again? Do you want to overcome the powers of darkness, the discouragement, the warfare, humanity around you? Then, saints of God, take that zeal of cloak of zeal by faith this morning and ride furiously on your way this day. Come, see the zeal of the Lord, for it shall accomplish this. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Oh, let the zeal of the Lord come in these lives. Oh, God, what we've heard, oh, God. Oh, break every unbelief in Jesus' name. Let a fire burn in these bones, oh, God. We cry out to you this day. Oh, we cry out for the zeal of the Lord. Oh, let this mantle fall one last time. We want to see revival again. We want to see a Holy Ghost revival in our towns and our cities. We want a Holy Ghost revival, oh, God. We want to see the power of God restored. We want to see a purifying of your church, oh God. We want to see your glory again. Oh, let's ask him, saints of God. Let's plead at the throne of God. Let's lay hold of the zeal of the Lord. Let's lay hold of the zeal of the Lord. Oh, let it burn in your bones. Oh, Jesus, Jesus.